This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
All right. Welcome back. If you're a veteran and you're struggling or feel like you are leading a path towards the darkness, stop and think about those who are around you. Think about how they truly value you, how they will miss you. You are not alone. You need to talk to someone. Someone will listen to you. If you feel like you'll be a burden to someone or you don't feel like you should put that weight on your inner circle, call the hotline at 988 and take option one. Don't make a permanent solution to a temporary problem. If you're a new listener, thanks for joining us. Please subscribe to our show on your favorite podcast apps. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel at @_MisfitNation. It's @_MisfitNation. This will keep you up to date with our latest news, episodes, and of course, our great guests. Speaking of which, our next guest is an author and a business strategist teaching experts, teachers, public speakers, and other freedom seekers how to write, publish, and market their books. She is also the editor of more than 30 nonfiction books, which on average sold 5 times market average and created significant business growth for the author. So without further ado, let's welcome Melina Benson to the Misfit Nation. Welcome, Melina.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for, I know we've had a lot of ups and downs trying to get this thing going. That's just the way the world we live in. We're all busy and we all get sick. So yes. Thank you for your patience and I guess my side too, patience.
Yes.
I'm glad to have you here. Melina, if you don't mind, I know you have a way better story than what I just told. Please tell the audience a little bit more about your background from as far back as you want to go to where we are now.
Well, I'm from Denmark, so I live in Copenhagen. But I've been a little bit around the world, and the book publishing part, I actually met that in Peru when I lived there 8 years ago. I lived there for 2 years, and by coincidence, I happened to meet a small startup that were digitizing already printed books and created ebooks from that. So that's how my book career started. Well, that's how it started as a profession. But books have been a part of my life always. I love studying, so I have 6 educations or something like that. But also, when I was 8 years old, I actually created my first library and had a small desk where the other kids in the street could come by and write their stories. So I guess it was always in my DNA. But a little bit untraditionally, my background is business. It's not journalism. So the books that I write is nonfiction books, and these are for small business owners and entrepreneurs. I help them write this type of book that makes them stand out as experts in their field. And that is actually more about how it's more about marketing than it is about writing skills. So that's quite important for anyone who wants to be an author to remember that you don't have to be a great writer. You have to be a great teacher and you need to be great at marketing your book.
Definitely. Marketing is, I think, the hardest part of being an author. I believe writing comes naturally for most writers. They have their storytelling. They have their creative side. And then once they get their baby done, they forget that the other side is, hey, I got to get this thing sold and make people want to buy it. That's the hard part. And that's where someone like you comes in, right?
Yeah. And you should really, that's why you should start. Like any other any other product you create, you would start analyzing the market, understanding what's already out there. What is it that my audience need? What is the segment that needs what from me? What am I the best helping with? All of these things that we already considered for our business, it's the exact same thing for a book. That it, when we're talking nonfiction books, they're not for entertainment, they're for teaching, and they are for attracting customers for this segment.
Exactly. So every business person out there that makes the book that this is how I did this to help you, yes, they should have that same mindset. I'm a business person. I market my business. Yes. I need to have someone else helping me market my book so I'm not doing 8 jobs at once to get this thing going.
Yeah. Or learn how to love marketing, because it's such a big part of being a business owner.
Yes, it is.
But a book actually makes it more fun. It's a lot more fun to promote a book because you have put your heart and soul into the content. So the conversations, it falls more natural for us when it's a book to talk about the subject instead of talking about the book as a product or me as a creator of the product. I talk about the subject like we do now. That's just so much easier than to talk about a product that you're selling. You're talking about the message that you have in your product. So some of those who were not a fan of doing marketing and sales before, they actually love it more when they have the opportunity to talk about their book, because they are so proud they got it out there. and they feel very passionate about their message.
Definitely. And I know you've also published, right, for yourself.
Yes. So
you published the Next Gen book. What made you think about writing the Next Gen book?
Yeah, Next Gen Author is about Web3 and how Web3 and artificial intelligence is changing what authorship is all about. My background in my career, I've been head of innovation in an insurance company before. And this moving, looking for new opportunities, looking for trends, and finding new opportunities there, I have always been fascinated by that. And the thing is that the publishing industry is a very mature industry. The biggest publishers have hundreds of years of experience. They are very mature. They're very set in their ways of doing things, in their strict rules, in how they, in their business model, it has been the same forever. But what I have discovered is that Web3, and I'm going to explain in a second what it is, because I guess most will not know what it is, that can actually be what we need to disrupt that industry, so that we can change the conditions for authors, but also for readers, and in particular, bring those two closer together. Because one of the problems that we have in publishing is that when you publish a book and you sell it online via Amazon or some other online bookstore, you don't get any of the data. So you don't know who bought your book, and you have zero opportunity of building a connection with your audience. Or even sell them something more, which most authors need, because you rarely get rich from selling books. You can raise your credibility and raise your brand and attract more customers for your other services, but selling books is not what's usually going to make you rich. There's so many problems in that system that authors get paid with a extreme delay that is really unaccounted for. There's no reason for why they should wait so long to get their money. And also, they get a very small part of the book sales. So they're definitely, and then again, there's zero customer data, so they cannot really build on that audience. But Web3 can solve some of that. So let me just explain real quick what Web3 is. What it is is the next internet. Web1 is back when we got the internet. So back then, it would be companies who had a website we could read. It would be bloggers who had a blog we could read, but we couldn't really, maybe we could comment on a blog, but we couldn't really easily, without acquiring tech skills, we couldn't really contribute. We could just be passive readers. It was a one-way street. Then we had social media. That's Web 2. So now we are the creators of content. But that content, every time we post something on Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or wherever, it's the platform that's generating the profit from that content. And if we don't create any content, they don't have a product. So they don't have a space for selling their advertisement if we don't create content for the platform. So there's zero ownership for the creators. It's some intermediaries that are owning all of the data and all of the content. But in Web3, that is all about ownership. So it's a shift in how technically the content is stored and documented, who owns this content. So it's all built on blockchain technology. And unfortunately, most people, the first many times, maybe they have heard about blockchains, they relate it to cryptocurrencies and speculation, or to digital art, small images that have been sold for a huge amount of money. But it's not really that image that people are buying. They're buying that's just a visual representation of a digital contract. That's what we are dealing with in Web3. So there's something called NFTs, that's non-fungible tokens. And it really means that if I offer you at $1 and I hold out $10 bills to you, you don't care which one you get, because they're fungible. They are all alike. They're interchangeable. But when we're talking non-fungible, the item that I'm offering you is unique and it's recorded on the blockchain. So you can say it's set in stone. Once it's created, it's really set in stone and it cannot be altered. Who created it? When was it created? And who owns it? You can sell NFTs and then the ownership will be transferred and also set in stone on the blockchain. So this means that if we, instead of publishing books only as paper book and ebooks and audiobooks, if we also publish a book as an NFT, you would have the actual ownership of that NFT and you would be able to sell that book after you have read it, instead of keeping it on your bookshelf or on your computer because it was an ebook and you will never read it again. But you would be able to sell it again, maybe even with a profit, if I, as the creator, have added more value over time to that NFT. So you can keep it or you can sell it. And you can, in the contract, when you sell your NFT, you're selling the contract. So maybe that contract says that when you buy my NFT, I get maybe 20% royalties from that book. That would be about three times more than I would get from a hardback book with a publisher, right? So maybe I will get the 20%. The next time when you sell it, I get 20% again, because it's the coding that's in the smart contract that determines what's going to happen with the money when this is traded. So it's quite different from the world we know today, that we will be able to create these digital contracts, which is really just a piece of programming. But the way it looks for the user or the buyer is that it has a digital art image, some fancy image, to let us know that this is the NFT we own, but it has its own unique place in the blockchain, and it's recorded who owns it. And when you sell it, it's also transparent to me as the creator that you sold it. I will automatically, it will run this programming and it will pay into my digital wallet the amount that is specified in the contract. But the real value in that is that at any point in time, this system is completely transparent. So at any point in time, I can just search who owns now the NFTs that I sold. And I will be able to add more value by sending them more value to their digital wallets. So I can build a connection with my audience over time. Which is not possible when I sell books on Amazon. I get zero information about who bought the books.
Right. Unless they like your author page.
Yes.
If they follow you as an author, is the only time you usually find out who is actually on your list of people who bought your book. Yeah. Otherwise, you might get an anonymous review or something, a number of sales from X. They don't even tell you what country someone bought the book from anymore. They just tell you one purchase here, one hardback, one ebook, one audiobook, and you have to figure out maybe it's someone in Portugal bought my book. I don't know. And you have no idea. So I understand that a lot with my book. Just by reviews is the only way I know who buys it.
If you're a very suspicious person, you can even say that you have zero idea whether or not those numbers are correct. But I do trust that those numbers are correct. I don't think anybody on purpose. I think that's way too risky for them. They're not going to try to cheat anyone. But still, I don't get that detailed information. I don't have access to my audience. And I have to wait for months before I get my share of a payment that was digital. So there's really no reason why it should take months to process that payment along to me. Okay. If it was an NFT, it would be in my account 10 minutes later. So it's instant processing of whatever is in that contract. So now I've mentioned royalties, I've mentioned the documentation part, but an NFT can do so much more. So as a creator, since it's just programming, I can have a Web3 developer create a contract that can do many different things. So maybe I want to create it in a way that if you go to my website or a specific website for this project, maybe I've put some, in my case, I've created a course that's called NFT for Authors. I'm putting that on my website. So maybe it's going to be like that when you own the NFT, you just enter your wallet. You tell me, I own this. This wallet is mine. It will look up if you own that NFT. And if you sold it, you wouldn't have it in your wallet. But if you bought it and you kept it, it will be in your wallet and it will open the gate. So that is why we call it token gate. So it can give access. It can even be for a concert or a seminar or in the physical world, but also online. So this NFT can be like it's an access token to something. And this can be to like digital material, to experiences, voting rights. It can be anything that you could imagine that you would grant as a benefit to a customer. So maybe I would like to include everybody in voting about what's the next book I'm going to write or what should be the name of this chapter. And I could, in theory, it's still a little bit complicated and it needs a web developer still, but these services are being developed now. So this would be much easier in a minute. but it is actually happening really, really quickly in this field. So it is going to be, these services are going to be available real soon. But I could program that so that people could vote for whatever content they wanted from me. Or even I could create it so that there are some problems in that still, more technical. But in a minute, I could create it so that if I do this book project, my book Next Gen Author, I want to shed light on what's not working in the publishing industry. And it's nobody's fault. It's just because it's a mature model. But now we have new technology and we can do so much better. So I would like people to collaborate around making these changes and making this change happen so that creators and readers can get closer together and can build stuff together. I could have chosen, it's not technically possible now, but I actually thought about it, that any royalty from this book, because I want to get this message out to as many people as possible. So if people purchased my NFT, they helped me marketing with the marketing part of it, because their value of that NFT would increase because there were more people who wanted it and only a limited amount of NFT. But I could have created it so that they would actually get a part from the book royalties, for example. This is a little bit down the road, but it's going to be like that. That I determine what my business model is going to be. This is the most important message in this, really. That in Web3, The creator determines the rules. I set the rules for my business and how I want to publish my book, and how infiltrated with my business and with the decision making in my business, with the ownership of the assets in my business that I want it to be. Right now, I can upload a PDF and it's a print on demand system. So when somebody buys my book on Amazon, they will print a book and send them if it's print on demand. But that's a system, and I have no influence on how the system is going to work for my book. Right. So this is really the huge change with Web3, is that we get to decide and we get to go around some of these intermediaries. I'm not saying we should want to not be visible on Amazon, but hopefully Amazon and other Barnes & Noble and other big bookstores will also start offering some of these services at some point, right? So it's not, it's obviously interesting to be present there in and get the visibility in their huge database. Yes. But the business model should be more flexible.
Definitely. And I think every new author, young author would love to have more control over their product and having, like you said earlier, a publishing house with hundreds of years of experience. And basically that 100 years of experience has taken 90 to 95% of your the bottom line away from your creativity. They're taking all your creativity away from you. Amazon, I think you get between 5 and 7%, depending on how you do it. And they get everything else on your creativity. You're self-publishing, you're doing all the work, they just print on demand and get the credit. I think the future that you're speaking of is that's going to be a game changer for the whole industry, the whole publishing industry.
In all fairness, there are ways that you can optimize for the profit on your book. For example, if you want to self-publish it with print on demand, don't make it too long, not too many pages, and don't make it all colors, because your print cost will go up and it will be very difficult to even make a profit. But so there are definitely ways that you can earn a little bit more as a self-publisher, actually, than with a traditional publisher. And there are also many hybrids in the agreements that you can make with a publisher. So there are the major traditional old ones, but there are also newer, more modern publishers. But it's still the same distribution system that we all depend on. So no matter how we get our book into that system, it still has the same foundation. Even me as an independent author, I use the exact same system and the exact same process as a big publisher. So there's really no difference. It's just different gates to get in, but the system itself is the same.
Exactly. And if you can give advice to a new author, someone that's just writing their first piece right now, what would that be?
Yeah, well, I'm an expert in nonfiction. So for fiction, my advice would be find someone else. Because that's a completely different industry, but discipline. But I'm mentioning that to highlight that most people have strong beliefs about what it takes to publish a book, that it's difficult, that it takes a long time to write a book. And none of these beliefs are true. So this book, Next Gen Author, is a visionary book about a topic I needed to learn. I built a plane while flying because this was a new subject. Nobody else has written a book about it. Nobody created a blog about it. There was no information about how can we as authors use Web3. So I had to do quite a lot of digging and also learn myself about Web3 to a depth that I didn't have that depth of knowledge before. And I did that in 35 days.
Wow.
So it does not have to take years. And if you're an entrepreneur or a business person, you don't have years to write a book. All of those hours, you need to make them billable and collect money from a client instead of spending so much time writing a book. So the reason why we think it's so difficult is because we have inherited some of those beliefs from fiction. Because in fiction, I need to create Hogwarts and Harry Potter and a fantasy world there. I need to imagine things and be very creative and unfold places, people. But when you are already teaching a subject in your business, it's organized knowledge. You just need to get it out of your head and into a book format. So as and even I could even say what you need is to get it out of your head. And if you, from there, you can have someone do the rest. You don't need to spend years in order to become an author. It's completely okay to use an editor, for example. If you feel it's difficult to write, have a book coach or have an editor help you with it and go do client stuff instead. But we need to get it out of your head first. So I of course, I have a process for doing that so that I can do it faster. So that's one thing that I do. The other thing is that artificial intelligence is here. It's everywhere. And once you start looking for it, you will see it's everywhere. So half of my book is written by a robot. The discipline I had to learn is how do I ask it to write what I wanted to write, which was a little bit tricky for parts of the book because nobody has thought about it yet. So I didn't really know what questions to ask yet. But for the sections about what is Web3, what is the metaverse, I could have a robot, in this case it was called Jasper, help me write the book. There are many of these artificial intelligence or AI tools. Even the illustrations on the book cover, I created that in 20 minutes using an AI tool. And what I basically put was create a drawing of a human and a robot and a book. And it has to be the colors of the SAP ice cream. And I had a few runs with it, and then it created exactly what I had pictured in my mind. But I don't know how to draw, but I could create the drawing anyway. So definitely. So some of these new tools, they are quite fun to work with. So if you're the type of person who needed to make it more fun, definitely artificial intelligence can help you do that.
Outstanding. And Melina, how does someone get in contact with you or find out more about Web3?
I have a website that is called Goosebump, because this is so exciting. So it's Goosebump, and it's not .com, it's .pub for publishing, or if you can better remember it, for where you go to get your beer.
Perfect.
Half point on a Saturday. Yeah. So goosebump.pub. There is a free membership there, so you can sign up for an account and stay on top of these trends, because this is something that is not fully developed. It is it has come a long way the last even 3 months. It's a huge change, but it's something that's going to be further developed. And starting to educate yourself about Web3, what are NFTs, this is not something that is either for you or not for you. This is the new reality for all of us. So we can choose to educate ourselves and get on board early and experiment a little, even while nobody will laugh at us. Or we can try to jump on the train when it's a full speed ahead a little bit later. So start educating yourself. And that's what we do at goosebump.pop. So sign up for that free membership. That's also where you can find the book. You can also, in a minute, find it on Amazon. It's on its way through the publication process on Amazon.
Awesome. Thank you, Melina Benson, for joining the Misfit Nation and sharing your knowledge. And, of course, Web3 and NFTs. I learned more about NFTs in the last 30 minutes than I've known it ever. I just thought they were like voodoo stuff up in the sky for rich people. But now I know I can do it, too. So thank you very much for being here. And thank you for taking the time to come in.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for checking us out and being a part of the Misfit Nation. Don't forget to visit our website at themisfitnation.com. That's themisfitnation.com to catch up on all of our episodes and also to get some of that great Misfit Nation gear. As always, be humble, stay hungry, and keep hustling, because we are.